Welcome to Emerging Topics by CanVax, a public health podcast brought to you by the Canadian Public Health Association, bringing experts from across Canada to talk about the challenges and strategies for improving vaccine acceptance and uptake. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Emerging Topics by CanVax. I'm Chandani Sondagar, and on today's episode, we explore the challenges and opportunities of building vaccine confidence in the era of fake news. Joining us today is our guest speaker, Timothy Caulfield, Canada Research Chair in Health Law and Policy, a professor in the Faculty of Law in the School of Public Health, and Research Director of the Health Law Institute at the University of Alberta. Thanks for joining us, Timothy.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Timothy, over recent years, we've begun to see misinformation dominate, where celebrities and pseudoscience-embracing gurus are taking over public health discourse. So why exactly does misinformation and fake news stick?
Well, there's a lot going on there. First of all, it's something called the mere exposure effect. You know, fake news, primarily through social media, but through other means also, gets a lot of exposure. And there's really interesting research that shows that just being exposed to misinformation makes it seem more plausible. And so I think that plays a big role here. So if you just hear about something, no matter how crazy it is, and you hear about it often enough, it's going to seem more plausible. And that's why things like conspiracy theories, and there's certainly a lot out there in the context of vaccination, can have an impact on people's vaccination intentions. So, you know, that is why fake news, even though we probably all think we can identify what's fake and what's not, can still have an impact on public discourse. So, I think that is an interesting part of the story. Another thing I think that's going on is the breakdown in public trust. If we went out in the street and we asked people, do you trust science? You know, almost everyone is going to say yes. You know, do you trust universities? Yes. Do you trust even your healthcare provider? And most are going to say yes. But the problem is that when you start asking people about specific things, vaccination, GMOs, organic food, climate change, that trust starts to break down, and it starts to break down in really interesting ways, right? And that's certainly part of the story with vaccination. You know, I always like to tell people, you know, I get a lot of hate mail, especially in the vaccination space. And that is in the first paragraph of all of my hate mail. I can't trust you. I can't trust the science. And interesting research has shown that that is largely, not entirely, but largely because of the perceived profit, right? And so you get these ideas that there's a conspiracy theory, a conspiracy between the government and big pharma to sell vaccines, even though, so the conspiracy theory goes, they know that it's harmful. And that, I think, we can learn from. I think it really highlights the importance of good, independent science. There's a lot of other interesting things going on here, but I think those are a couple of the interesting examples.
And why do you think fake news drowns out experts and evidence?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. You know, it's one I get a lot. Why are we listening to celebrities instead of the experts? And one of the best sort of examples of that is the famous Jenny McCarthy appearance on CNN. She was on Larry King. Jenny McCarthy, the celebrity, was talking about vaccination. And she's on this show with several experts, you know, probably spent their entire life studying vaccination. But what we remember from that show is Jenny McCarthy, right? And partly it's because she's a celebrity and all the stuff I just talked about come to play, right? You know, she has this big megaphone, you know, and that she's able to spread this misinformation. But also, I think something that's overlooked is the power of the narrative, the power of the story. So here's Jenny McCarthy. She's on Larry King, and she's telling this compelling story about her child getting autism, right, from vaccination. Of course, that's untrue. But if you're a parent, you know, that's going to resonate. And so interesting research shows that, you know, a good narrative, a powerful story can overwhelm the empirical evidence. And I think that happens a lot here. And that touches on something else I think is really important to this story, and that's the causal illusion, right? And you heard Jenny McCarthy talk about it in that interview, and a lot of other people have talked about it. You know, my son or daughter got a vaccination, and then there was this adverse event, right? And they draw this causal connection, even though none exists. So you have this powerful narrative plus this causal illusion, and that combined can outweigh all the available evidence out there. And then, of course, layer on top of that the fact that a celebrity is saying it, and it becomes a real mess.
Absolutely. And to add to that, we also know that simply providing the information, facts, and evidence aren't always enough to persuade someone to get immunized, and can even in some cases backfire, reinforcing misconceptions they hold. So what can healthcare professionals do to build confidence in vaccines?
You're right. You're right about that. You know, and there have been, you know, some famous studies that have shown that. In fact, that, you know, providing the facts can make some individuals more entrenched in their views. And part of that, I think, goes to the values, right? There's really interesting research that shows, you know, what they did. It was a big international study, and they asked people, you know, who do you think is a credible source of information? Well, what's interesting is its credibility is down across the board, unfortunately. But what we do find is that, yes, people trust academics and they trust, you know, experts, but equally, they trust someone like them, right? Someone like you, right? So it's this idea of being able to relate to the voice. And I think we have to remember that when we're thinking of strategies to try to influence people. Look, we're never going to, you know, the hardcore anti-vaxxers, we're not going to change their minds, right? It's become part of their belief system, right? Become part of their personal identity. So it's going to be very, very difficult to change their mind. So what you want to do is it's those who are vaccination hesitant, right? And so I think we want to remember that personal value part of the story. And so there's been some interesting research that shows that if you come at this from a variety of angles, that you can have an influence on people who are vaccination hesitant. Now, first of all, I want to be, you know, careful. People have, you know, everyone's different. Everyone has different concerns. Sometimes it may be they're complacent. Sometimes there might be, you know, issues, you know, with access, convenience, you know, parenting challenges. It could be a whole bunch of different things. But if you're just talking about people who are vaccination hesitant because of, you know, safety and concerns or concerns about efficacy, you know, I think that we need to listen and get a sense of what's going on. But there's interesting research that suggests if we do a number of things. So yes, still tell them the consensus. And there is research that backs that up, that if you hammer away at what the scientific consensus is, that can have an impact. And we've seen that have an impact in the context of climate change, right? You know, hammering away at what the scientific consensus says, right? Using a weight of evidence approach is valuable. So, you know, here's the mountain of evidence that says vaccinations are generally safe and effective, and here's the, you know, outliers, a very small, tiny bit that have other views. You know, so use that weight of evidence approach, as we have done in climate change, and you've seen perspectives slowly change. In addition to that, though, you want to provide information in a way that's relevant to them. So there was an interesting clinical trial-like study that showed that, yes, provide the scientific evidence, but then also provide a story, right, from the perspective of a parent, for example, about the value of vaccinations. And in addition to that, provide a picture of what it perhaps looks like to get this disease. So a combination of those things. So you've got this story that speaks to their values, you have this picture, which can be very powerful communication strategy, and you have the accurate scientific information. That combination in this one study was found to be effective. So, you know, I think that's the kind of thing that we need to do. We need to come at it from every angle. In addition to that, more broadly, I do think we all need to be get involved. You know, we do need to be on social media, and we need to, you know, continue to talk about what the evidence says in a transparent and open way and in an honest way to sort of maintain that public trust. So those are just some of the examples of the kinds of things that we can do.
Those are great points, and I absolutely agree. I think we can and should be doing more to be part of that conversation, whether that is on social media or in the public, especially now where we are often hearing misinformed and science-free recommendations being made about vaccines and immunization schedules by some healthcare practitioners, especially those in the complementary and alternative medicine community. And that is not to say that every complementary and alternative practitioner is promoting anti-vaccine perspectives, but most do. So how should public health respond in these situations?
Yeah, I think this is a real problem, and we, as you probably know, we've actually done research on this topic, and we have found that many in the alternative, the complementary alternative medicine space, the CAM providers, do either explicitly raise anti-vaccination ideas, or sort of implicitly raise them, like boost your immune system naturally. Use these natural ways to fight the flu. And the implication is that somehow that's better than, than a vaccine. Or they talk about the idea of vaccination injury, or the idea that vaccines are toxic, et cetera. So these are common. Now, what I would like to see is, I really do think we need more of a regulatory response. I think that we need to have both the provincial regulators, so these are the regulators that oversee these healthcare professionals, take a stronger stand and make sure that their members aren't spreading this kind of information. I'd also like to see, more of a federal response. You can have entities like Health Canada make statements. Now, they maybe don't necessarily have regulatory oversight. They don't necessarily have jurisdiction, but they can still, they're a trusted voice that can still make statements that could be used to sort of fight this anti-vax rhetoric. But in addition to that, we could also use truth in advertising. I mean, these people are often using this language to sell something, whether it's a homeopathic vaccine, and I'm putting that in quotes. So I think that you can have some kind of truth in advertising action, step in there. So I do think there are regulatory tools that could be used to push back against this noise. In addition to that, I do think that other entities, like public health agencies, physician, the regulators for, more science-based healthcare providers, should speak up and make clear statements about what the science actually says. Even that's not necessarily, a hard regulatory response, it's still valuable because it's something that we can point to show the public where the science actually is.
With that, Timothy, I want to thank you once again for joining us. We really appreciate you sharing your time and insights on this topic. While the evidence is clear that vaccines are safe, effective, and work to prevent disease, the road ahead to building vaccine confidence in an era of fake news and misinformation is not as clear and requires public health professionals, researchers, and public health advocates to come together to develop creative strategies to be a strong and compelling voice in the vaccine conversation. As always, thank you for listening to Emerging Topics by CANVAX, a production of the Canadian Public Health Association. If you have questions or suggestions for topics you would like CANVAX to explore further, contact us through our website at canvax.ca. Until next time, thanks for listening.